Growing the Game with Ballsy. He's brought to you by Pizza Huts in Saskatchewan and the Concord Group of Companies. Brought to you by Paul Waldo at Royal LePage, the home expert team. If you need a real estate agent in Regina and surrounding area, give Paul a call at 306-502-5355. Brought to you by Wheel Estate. Got a travel trailer you want to rent out or rent one this upcoming camping season? Check them out at wheelestate.ca, and their rentals are backed by a $1 million insurance policy. And I'd like to welcome a new sponsor, Riviere Ag Seeds in Radville, Saskatchewan. If you're looking for pedigree, durum, lentils, peas, or chickpeas this spring, give Paul a call at 306-869-7629 or check them out online at rivièreagseeds.ca. This is Growing the Game with Ballsy, a podcast dedicated to growing the sport of football in Saskatchewan. Now, here's Ballsy.
And this is Moving the Chains with Jason Claremont as he joins us in the Mr. Lube Hotline. Jason, before we get to football, the sports world is all enveloped with the Kawhi Leonard watch. It's over now. He's going to the Clippers. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, what did they get Kawhi for? They got Kawhi to make a run at a championship. So I'm pretty sure he fulfilled his end of the bargain. And he wants to play closer to home, which is understandable. There's no market better for endorsements than L.A., and, I mean, nobody can really fault him. Everybody in Canada should really just thank him for his work.
How special was it for Jason Claremont to come home and play in Saskatchewan?
It was great. I mean, it's actually easier to play when you're out of province and out of your hometown, to be honest. But it was good to come home and be with family and those types of things. And we had such a great football team here. We went to the Grey Cup the first 2 years I was here, so it was an awesome experience.
But let me ask you something, Jason. How disappointing was it professionally for yourself? I know as a team guy, and you're the ultimate team guy, but personally, I mean, you weren't used as much as maybe you should have been.
Well, and you know, the fact of the matter is, and I talked to Paul Lapolis about this, they didn't, like, it's not like the offensive coordinator sought out and said, go get me Jason Claremont. It was a period in time where the GM of the Riders was having some issues off the field and made a signing, and I don't think he really coordinated that with his coaches, and so they were kind of stuck with me. They were stuck with a big body, a hybrid fullback receiver in an offense that was flat out speed, and that Ranger position, which Andy played, that third receiver to the field, wasn't really built for me in that offense, and they ended up, you know, finding a spot for me at wide receiver, and I earned my spot every year and ended up being, you know, wide receiver slot back and playing, you know, through the playoffs and those types of things. So I made the best of it and had a lot of great teammates and some great teams and really good experiences.
What did that experience teach you?
Taught me that, you know, nothing's ever guaranteed. You have to earn everything every day, every rep. And sometimes what you think you're going to end up doing, you need to be diverse and be able to adapt to things.
Jason Claremont joining us here, Moving the Chains. You talk about field side. I'm noticing this year a lot of the teams are attacking that field side more. It used to be where you'd throw, and no disrespect to Rob Bagg, because I loved Rob Bagg, but you'd throw Rob Bagg at the field side wide receiver. He might get 15, 20 balls a season or right around there. But now teams are attacking that field side, it seems. Are you noticing that?
Yeah, and it just predicates on what defenses that teams are giving you, and they seem to be giving. It seems to be more cover three, where that corner is high, and then that flat player can't get out wide, and the quarterbacks in this league have strong enough arms that they can make those field side throws.
You know, Cody Fajardo, when he came into this league, you know, I was doing a little bit of research on him. They were saying at the NFL Combine, this guy is an NFL arm. I really loved a couple of throws. There was one in the fourth quarter where he just decided to grip it and rip it. It was in kind of tight coverage. It was like a little skinny post. I forget who he threw it to, but it was a dime. And the touchdown pass to Kyron Moore looked like he audibles out of that play, takes a shot, but gets it to him deep for a 98-yarder. I really like how this kid's evolving.
Well, I think that Kyron talked about it after the game, and he said that they were looking for that look. And you do that during the week. You have, you know, four, five, six looks that, you know, if you get a team in that look, if they play what they show to be man coverage, then you kind of lick your chops and just hope that you can get that playoff. And Kyron said that they actually played press coverage, which is even better. And they just dialed it up and executed it just like they would in practice.
So if you're a receiver, are you licking your chops when you see press coverage? Is that a sign of disrespect when a guy's pressing you?
Yeah, but I mean, I didn't really make my money playing wide receiver. So I was more into when the free safety was low or when the free safety was blitzing and it was cover zero. Because as that inside receiver, you get to take what we call the whole shot and take the middle of the field. for that quick hot throw. And when there's, you know, one extra man that nobody can cover, that's the quarterback's job. His job is to stand in there, get rid of that ball and get it to the receiver, because that's his guy to block with his throw.
Jason, you've got more trained eyes than most of us, especially, you know, a guy like me. I'm just a talking head here. But you're watching Cody Fajardo. What are you liking about what you're seeing from him today or you know, so far last 2 weeks?
Well, it's everything that I think I've said and everybody's noticed, is that he has a confidence. He has a swagger. He steps in, he throws the ball. He has a good understanding of this offense. His timing is good. I think that that's just preparation as a pro. And, you know, that'll just carry through as long as he can stay healthy. It's been a tough year for quarterbacks in the league. As long as he can stay healthy, I think the Riders are in good shape.
Yeah, no kidding. Hey, you got Matt Nichols going down this week. Mike Riley's taking some big shots. Kolaros is out. Bo Levi Mitchell's out. I mean, it's kind of a mass unit at that quarterback spot.
It is, and I bet you Kevin Glenn's phone has been ringing.
Yeah, no kidding. I wonder if Darian's is going to ring too, the way it's going. I mean, that's one thing that I... Are you boggled by that, that Darian Durant hasn't got many offers or anybody kicking the tires on him? Or do you think it has something to do with the fact that he jammed out in Winnipeg and that signing bonus?
Well, is he looking to play?
As far as I know, he still wants to play, yes.
Yeah, then I think that it's just that situation that happened in Winnipeg. I mean, you get into a situation like that, and that just kind of destroys what a team's confidence level in you actually coming out and performing for them.
Yeah. Jason Clairmont joining us here. I want to ask you about Arbuckle in a second, but I want to talk about a couple of receivers. Let's start with one of Arbuckle's targets, Eric Rogers, who was great, then went to San Francisco, had some knee problems, comes back to Calgary. Looks like he's hitting his stride once again. Your thoughts on Eric Rogers?
Well, he's just, and I'm good friends with Dave Dickinson, he's just one of those consistent guys that they can count on in Calgary. And he was a bit of a loss when they lost him to the NFL. But, you know, they're really excited that he's back in the league.
Naaman Roosevelt, I look at him as the ultimate professional. And I watched a couple of plays during the game. He might not be getting the football all the time as a quote-unquote number one guy would like to get. But when he's not getting the football, he's still putting in his pay for his paycheck. I mean, the guy's throwing blocks. He's really leading by example, because I see it rubbing off on guys like Kyran Moore blocking downfield.
Yeah, he's a mix, I think, between G. Roy Simon and Adarius Bowman, you know, like a kind of a bigger body, strong guy, but always doing the small things, always getting open, finding spots in the zone, getting you tough yardage, those types of things, and just a consistent receiver and a quality guy to have as a you know, a cornerstone of your receiving corps.
You talked about being kind of that H-back, fullback kind of, you know, burly receiver back towards the end of your playing, well, through your whole playing days, but towards the end. Talk about Corey Watson, because I kind of see him in that H-back role too, and he had a real sturdy game for the Riders last outing.
Yeah, I mean, he's a vet, and that's what vets do. They kind of find their way to onto each team, you know, see where you fit in. And I think that Corey Watson's been doing that. He's bounced around a little bit and has found a good little niche here in Saskatchewan.
You know, I know Dave Dickinson would never say this, and the Stamps wouldn't say this, but the last few years got to get boring for these guys. They're always in first, and they're always in the Grey Cup Championship, it seems. I'm not saying that it's easy to get there, but they're just consistent. Now they have a lot of adversity, not just Bo Levi Mitchell out, but they've got some hits in their defense, the defensive line, secondary, one of their starting linemen's out all year. I mean, this will be a real coaching challenge for Dave Dickinson, and you just said you're good friends with him. I imagine he's salivating at the challenge.
Yeah, and I mean, you're better off having these types of challenges early in the year. The season really doesn't mean anything till after Labor Day, as far as I'm concerned. And you know, you want to get through these rough patches and figure out who your guys are. And it's kind of a blessing in disguise, where you can develop some depth just out of necessity, and hopefully have some guys come back and just develop more team kind of chemistry. It's a tougher thing if it happens at the back end of the year.
What do you make of Arbuckle and his nice comeback the other day against the BC Lions, coming off the bench going 9 for 9?
And again, I think that just is all down to preparation, and having a quarterback as your head coach is probably just an absolute blessing, in the fact that they know that they need to get their guys all mentally ready. They need to make practice quicker and tougher than a game is going to be, so then when they step out in a game, that they can have those types of performances, and it seems a little bit easier than even practice.
Okay, Jason, lastly, you talk about the season really doesn't start until after Labor Day. But if you're the Rough Riders tonight, the defending Grey Cup champs are coming in here, and these aren't your dad's defending Grey Cup champs. This is a nicked up team, no Bo Levi Mitchell. I talked about all the other injuries. I know the Riders are nicked up a bit too, but they go to the bye week. The Riders can't miss out on this opportunity. They got to win this game.
Well, they can. I mean, but they should take advantage of this opportunity. They should capitalize on it. I think, again, when you get past that Labor Day, that's when the season unfolds. But you need to notch up as many wins as you can along the way, whether they're gritty or, you know, you're just blowing teams out or whatever the case may be. You just need to notch up some wins, and I think that this would be a great opportunity for them to put one in the win column again.
Jason, thanks for this. I appreciate it.
Yeah, anytime.
That's the great Jason Claremont moving the chains of the Rough Riders Radio Network. Time now to head out in the Mr. Lube hotline. It's Growing the Game with Ballsy, and I'm talking with Daryl Dixon, who's the head coach of the Saskatchewan team taking part in the Can-Am Bowl, the 23rd annual Can-Am Bowl. It's a battle of six-man football teams from Canada, more specifically Saskatchewan and the U.S. How are you today, Daryl?
Not too bad.
Daryl, tell us about this game. So it's six-man football. Your team is made up of kids from what area?
We've actually got kids this year out of both Saskatchewan and Alberta. We've kind of scouted the six-man all-star game, both provinces, and put them together in a camp. And we've got a final roster of 22. So basically, we had 19 kids out of Saskatchewan and 3 kids out of Alberta that will be representing Canada this year.
That's outstanding. So how many coaches involved with regards to this team? I know you're the head coach, but how many other guys involved?
We've got 5 coaches. Troy Schneider from Robert, Bill Brownfield from Rimby, Alberta, Carter Harriet from my home school of Waukesha, Saskatchewan, and then Tate Johnson from St. Bruce.
Let's talk about six-man football in the province. How big a deal is this for the kids and for the communities?
Yeah, it's a big deal for the kids for sure. Saskatchewan's kind of the province that keeps on growing in six-man. You know, currently we've got about, 40-ish teams that are taking part. Alberta, actually, the numbers have dropped. It's actually a surprise. They're going to be down to, I think, about 12 teams next year, but certainly a big deal in Saskatchewan. I know Alberta's on the cusp of really taking off as well. So it's big for the community. You know, this is a big event. We're excited. I can't wait to see what shows up in terms of spectators. I know it'll be big. Lake season in Waukesha, so I know there'll be a lot of people out there.
So the game is played in Waukesha. Is that where it's played?
It is, yeah. Played in Waukesha, Saskatchewan. Actually, the kickoff will be about 8:20, 8:30 tonight, and we'll play the game, at least half the game anyways, under the lights. So.
Okay, cool. So do you have a pretty good grandstand set up with a good lighting system?
Yeah, we've got actually a lot of in-kind sponsorships that we ended up with, Wright Brothers and Thorpe, groups there. We've got eight light generators set up, so it'll be a well-lit game when needed. So.
That's outstanding. Talk about how this game has grown over the years, because I know I've talked to people in the past in different towns where you literally had to drive the cars by the field and turn on the lights so the kids could practice.
Yeah, for sure. It's you know, I think it's getting bigger all the time. We kind of took this game, I guess, for us on a short hop. We were supposed to host next year. But anyways, it turned out the host school for this year bowed out for some reasons, and we took it on about a 3-month notice, and I really had to scramble to put the event together, but I think that's one testament to what we have in Waukesha and community is just the support that we have and our parent group. So, you know, we're running in Waukesha kind of Pee-wee grade 5 kids all the way up to grade 12 kids now, and 4 different programs that come out of the community, and lots of players and lots of support.
So you talked about Saskatchewan and Alberta representing Canada in this Can-Am Bowl today in Waukesha. Who are you playing against?
Well, we're playing an all-star team out of the States. Pretty good football, pretty good football states anyways, but Nebraska, Montana, Wyoming, they're bringing Texas, which always makes them good. So actually, even not good, probably almost borderline great. So it'll be a good test for us.
So do you play Canadian rules or American rules?
We play Canadian rules. We're trying to trip them up a little bit on that one. Their game's very different than ours. So, but yeah, it's Canadian rules. And these guys have been up here enough times to know the rules. But every once in a while, they kind of pretend they don't. But they know what we're playing by.
Do you go back and forth? Like, do you guys play down there sometimes? Does this alternate between Canada and the U.S.?
To this point, Can-Am Bowl has always been played in a Saskatchewan town all 23 years. So it hasn't been. I know the Americans and even the American coach this year, talked to me. They'd really like to see us come back down, but that's that's not for my decision. That's sort of the powers that be through football to ask. And the six-man coaches in general.
Well, Daryl Dixon joining us here, growing the game as they're hosting the Can-Am Bowl today, Canada against the U.S., as you just heard there. So what kind of undertaking is it to host these guys coming up from the States in terms of coming to a small community like Waka? How does that work with you guys hosting it?
You know, we'll end up, for the player-wise, we had our kids in on July 2nd. Normally the Americans come up at that same time, but it's quite the undertaking in terms of, we've got the kids. We had the kids staying at the school. We had actually rented some beds from SAS Games. And so we had them at the school. So we've got a parent, four ladies that kind of headed it up there as far as the food piece goes. And they fed us well. I think all the coaches have jumped up one shirt size. So we're we're well fed. And it was awesome. But it's definitely a bigger production than, I think even I realized. I mean, I've been a part of them before and part of the nine-man game. And it's a big event, a lot of work. You know, we've got fireworks. We've got pretty much everything going on. So
big production. That's good. Okay, before I let you go, I've never watched a six-man game. Can you just explain to me and others that have never watched it, what is, like, I know what six-man football is in terms of numbers, but just how does that vary in terms of the rules and everything like that?
Well, realistically, I guess six-man ball in Canada, and it's very different than the States, but six-man ball, you've got really one player that's not eligible to basically receive, and that's the center. So 40 yards wide in the field, you got a lot of room, and you can only spread guys out. And it's fast. It's super fast. I mean, in terms of players, I think, probably the best way to sum it up, I mean, I think we got some of the best tacklers in the business, and that's because of the fact that, you have to be able to tackle an open field. So it's pretty wide open.
How about special teams-wise? Do you have special teams? Do you have kickoffs? Do you have punts? Do you have field goals?
Yeah, full meal deal. There's nothing that we don't do, nothing we don't run. Six-man game, I think a lot of coaches have really gone to the short kick and the squib kick just because of the fact that, it's so hard to contain guys back there on a deep kick. But same time, I guess, from my philosophy, I'm trying to make our kids run down field and make that play. Because if any of our guys are going on to the next level, they're going to start in special teams. So I think it's important to give them the full experience.
Okay, well, I'm going to send you my phone number. I'm going to send you my phone number via text. You text me after the game because our Rider game is running simultaneous to your Can-Am Bowl. You let us know what's going on, and we'll give you a shout-out after the game, okay?
Sounds good. Thank you.
Take care, Daryl.
Okay, right on.
That was another installment of Growing the Game with Ballsy. If you have a story idea you'd like Michael Ball to pursue, please email him at mball@harvardbroadcasting.com.